Hello and welcome to Talking Europe. My guest is the president of Europa Nova, a think tank based in Paris, which has been reflecting on the EU and proposing solutions to problems for more than 20 years. Guillaume Closser founded Europa Nova in 2003 alongside Enrico Letta, the former Italian Prime Minister. Guillaume Closser has many years of experience in public policy and public affairs. He's been a special advisor at the European Commission and at the French Ministry for Europe and Foreign Affairs. And he's also the chair of the Conclave, which is a high-level reflection platform advising European leaders. Welcome back to the programme, Guillaume.
Thank you, Armand.
So, this report that you produced, it's called Europe 2040, Tomorrow is Today. The idea here is that Europe should take difficult decisions now rather than delaying them, because tomorrow is today.
Indeed, indeed. And this report was made by 50 people coming from wherever Europe, by Conclave. And Conclave, in fact, is a platform of European leaders in all disciplines, which aim to advise the European leadership, including the President of the European Council, Antonio Costa. Yeah. And this first report, which was made public last year, said that there was a risk of a waning relationship with the US, mm-hmm. and that we needed, in order to get out of this challenge, to position Europe as a global, sustainable, responsible power. Yeah. And that was the only way to be able to discuss with an American president, be it Trump or another one.
So you were talking about what more recently has been described as European strategic autonomy. You were already talking about that in 2003, actually.
When we created Europe.
Yes, now that it's become more accepted
When we created Europe and over more than 20 years ago, there was the understanding that we were entering a period of 50 years of crisis, yeah. with increasing pressure between Russia, China, and the US, and that in this framework, Europe can't be only an observer, but should be a power and even a superpower, a political superpower, with its own value, capable of discussing with the US, with China, with Russia. And if we were not doing that, the risk for us was to be a vassal and nothing less. This was already clear 20 years ago.
So the risk was always there. It was clear to you that Europe was going to be squeezed between the US, China and Russia if it didn't make these reforms.
Exact. Yeah. But in order to make this reform, there is a need for a common understanding of the challenge. And up to recently, there was the idea that our security, our defense was guaranteed by the US. And this works as long as the US is a liberal democracy. But what happens when the US is not anymore a liberal democracy? And that's the situation we start to see now. But also, if you have a very strong trust relationship with the US, and the reality is the last 24 years, the quality of this relationship has declined. And it starts with the war to Iraq, when President Bush decided to invade Iraq without, in fact, really consulting us, and based upon disinformation. So you see there is a long decline of the relationship, and now we are in a real crisis in terms of the transatlantic relationship.
So you say now there's a common understanding on what to do, but perhaps there isn't a common understanding on how to actually make concrete changes. If we look at European defence, there are still a lot of arguments about how to reform European defence and how to make it less fragmented. There's obviously a lot of money that is being talked about, but this 800 billion euros in ReArm EU, it's still on paper, isn't it? It's not actual money.
Yeah, I was discussing some weeks ago during the EI summit with one advisor of former President Biden, and he told me if this war would not, with Ukraine and between Russia and Ukraine, would not have happened, the recommendation of many people around Biden was to say to Europeans, NATO will be dead by 2030, And now you need to organize yourself and to organize the transition. And you need a European army, a European common force, which is the only way to defend yourself, because the challenges are very high. And the multiplication of now national army is not at all optimal. So you need to review the system. And second, you need to develop your own defense industry, because this is a major lever for growth. And you need growth if you want to be considered and respected by us, but also by China and the other.
And you do recommend in this conclave that there should be an autonomous European defence pillar within NATO.
Within NATO, as long as the US support NATO.
Yeah, but the reality is, Guillaume, I mean, Europeans cannot even agree on a relatively small reassurance force in Ukraine. How could they possibly agree on a European army?
Two different things. The question of the reassurance force is that we need the US and NATO to support it. So it's not only a discussion between ourselves at the moment. But if it's clear that we won't have any American support and we can't rely on NATO, I am convinced that we will find a solution. My conviction, having discussed with some former American general from NATO, is we Europeans have the resource to support Ukraine. Some are lacking, but we can buy externally some weapons, and we started already to do it to South Korea, to it could be India, it could be many, it could be Taiwan, which is one thing. But we have a lack of self-confidence. Yeah. And this lack of self-confidence is the result of a conditioning done by the US on ourselves, but also done by ourselves on ourselves. So we need to pose this question of self-confidence to be aware that we can do it. And this is a political issue.
I mentioned at the beginning that you were an advisor at the European Commission. In fact, two former European Commission president, Jean-Claude Juncker, I think, on artificial intelligence and those kinds of topics, and the whole digital regulation sphere as well. The European Commission has now rolled out its AI Continent Action Plan. Do you think things are moving at the moment?
There is an understanding that we need to develop our own digital platform and clouding capacity. And this is a good thing, but now the question is how to do it. And I think we have an opportunity because, as you know, the tech giant, the US tech giant, aligned with President Trump, there are many people working for this company who have internal doubt about they want to go on working for them. And I would say we should develop a European challenge to see how to develop our and implement very rapidly our own strategy to be independent or to have our own platform in Europe. And this is really feasible. It's a matter of 5 years if we really want it. This is not clearly in the AI continent-wide plan proposed by the Commission. We should be clearer on this point. And this plan is good. It set a certain number of objectives. But we need also a deployment strategy, an implementation strategy, very quick. And we need to be able to develop fast track. We can't wait 5-10 additional years. This is nonsense.
And also money is needed because Europe is still spending a fraction on innovation compared to the US, isn't it?
Compared to the US, in fact, in public expenditure, we have more or less the same level. The big difference, and this is Jean Tirole's, our Nobel Prize report, is that the private investor, and particularly the tech giant, are investing much more and with much more impact. And there we have an issue because our high-tech is not strong enough. But we have the capacity to increase it by supporting a European debt strategy. We have a capacity to increase massively our debt, which is not the case anymore of the US or Japan. So we should use this leverage. But it means also that it's a change in terms of mindset.
Increasing our debt in Europe, you're saying?
Yes, and it's
that's not
important.
Very politically sellable in Rome or in the Netherlands, for example.
Yeah, but now it's not anymore. It used to be, but less and less. Be aware of the position of German Chancellor Merz, who say that now this is not anymore taboo, and the German constitution has been changed.
I was going to ask you, actually, we're running out of time, Guillaume, but on Friedrich Merz, obviously he is a kind of game changer for European defence investment for those who want to go down that direction. But on the Franco-German relationship, do you think he's going to change a lot of things?
I think there will be a major change. We had difficulty. I was invited by President Macron to his last trip to a state trip to Germany, and we have very good relationship with the president. But the relationship with the Chancellor Scholz was much more difficult. And there is a willingness of dialogue, and there is a clarity in terms of objective of Chancellor Merz. And this is an opportunity to reboost our relationship. But there is also a common understanding that we need to transform the EU into a global power, and very rapidly. And there is the opportunity of a roadmap. And as a leader of civil society, my proposal to Chancellor Merz, to President Macron, to the president of the council, which is Donald Tusk, and the next one, Mette Frederiksen, the Danish prime minister, is to launch a continental and global debate on power. What kind of power we want for the coming world? Do we want a violent power, illiberal power, or do we want a more global, responsible, sustainable power? And which roadmap to organize this transformation rapidly?
We'll stop there, but thank you so much for your insights, Guillaume Closser, president of the Europa Nova think tank. Glad you could join us here on Talking Europe.